Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The theme for our meditation this morning is the intimacy of faith. The text is slightly varied from the gospel. Same place, John chapter 6, verse 27 and then 47 through 58. And you might want to have a Bible open as we really get into the meditation. I'm going to go verse by verse. And we'll figure out what this is saying with the Spirit's help, as they indicated. But I'll read it again now from a third different translation. We really want to let these words settle in, starting at 27 and then going to 47. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him has God the Father set his seal. Then verse 47. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and not die. Let me start again at verse 47. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers are the manna in the wilderness, and they ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not such as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. Do you understand all of that? We're going to before this half hour is over. Dearly beloved, let's start with a little survey. How many of you have read the Bible straight through from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation? Okay, question number 2. Did you understand it all? No hands. When we do try to read the Bible all the way through from the beginning, we quickly find out that it is not one continuous narrative. The various writings are grouped by kind. In the Old Testament, we have the books of the law, history, wisdom, then the major and the minor prophets. The writings of the New Testament are grouped as the Gospels, a history book, the Pauline and the general epistles, and one book of prophecy. All told, the Bible contains 66 writings by over 40 different authors, written in a time span of over 1,500 years. To top it off, we have a variety of writing styles, narrative or prose, poetry, sermons, hymns, prayers, apocalyptic language, parables, a variety of figures of speech, including analogies, similes, metaphors, and more. anyone who claims to have understood everything they read in the Bible is being less than candid. Even the greatest Bible scholars of all time have not made such a claim. Paul wrote, "Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord?" Romans 11. However, here's a big however. In Scripture, every detail of God's plan for saving the souls of sinful mankind through the atoning sacrifice of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, is abundantly clear. And his commandment, his will for the way we live our lives in order to please him and glorify his holy name, is also crystal clear. No shade of a doubt on either count. Now, sometimes the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and the law, clear as they are not understood or are questioned. When reason is held superior to faith, when one refuses to yield to the Spirit-inspired Word of God, that person is blinded to the truth. Such was the case with the ruling Jews, the Pharisees, and their followers who did not accept the authority of Jesus. Now, this becomes apparent in our text. If you were listening carefully, you caught it. Jesus is teaching about a food which does not perish, the bread of life. Now, many of his hearers were those who witnessed the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Now, that was food to sustain life in the flesh. Now comes a metaphor, a figure of speech. A metaphor is a figure of speech in which a word or a phrase picturing one kind of object or idea is used in place of another. Got that? English lesson for the day. Jesus talks about the bread they were fed, but now focuses on the eating of bread in a different way. Bread is life-giving for the flesh, but there is a bread that is life-giving for the soul. And as manna came down from heaven to sustain life in the wilderness during the time of Moses, so also bread has now come down from heaven to give life to the soul. Jesus, in verse 47, gives a major clue to the meaning of what he is about to say. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. That's a key statement in understanding this. To believe is to have faith. This, we will see, is a key word in our meditation. And then, verse 48, only six words, but central to this entire lesson. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Now, right away, reason objects. No, a person is not bread. Doesn't sound right. But Jesus goes on, verse 50, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and not die. And then in verse 51, if you're following, he elaborates, I am the living bread. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Again, reason must object. Bread that is alive, this is really getting far out. Living bread? The bread which I give for the life of the world is my flesh, he goes on to say. Now, if you were just reading through the Bible and you came to this passage, what would you think? How should this be understood? It does not stand to reason, of course. Quite obviously, this was the case with the Jews, whose spiritual ignorance became evident when they asked, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Now, to the carnal mind, this is a logical question. Despite his many miracles, they still saw Jesus as nothing more than a mere man. And as such, the eating of his flesh in a literal, gross, physical way was unrealistic, unthinkable. No wonder Jesus' word disturbed them greatly. They disputed among themselves, some no doubt thinking that Jesus was on the verge of insanity. Now, Jesus, of course, knew what was in their hearts. He knew their lack of understanding, their unbelief. His answer would befuddle them all the more because his metaphor was about to go even deeper into the truth that he was conveying to everyone within hearing as well as to us today. And the truth of what he had to say takes us to the very heart of Christianity, to the core of the way we believe. By God's grace, we are able to understand. First of all, in a cursory or a quick reading, the text might seem to be talking about the Lord's Supper, the sacrament of the altar and the real presence of Christ, right? Agree with that? But this is not the context at all. Far from it. This is not about communion. You never want to use this as a proof text for communion. It won't work. Now let's examine the words of Jesus more closely and pray that the Spirit give us a clear meaning. Verse 51. I am the living bread. I, and I alone. We recall Peter's words when he defended the gospel before the Jewish rulers, the Sanhedrin, in Jerusalem. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we are saved. Not Baal, not any of the deities conceived by Asiatic minds, not Allah, not any god of any tribe or race in all creation. The living bread is none other than Jesus Christ himself. He is the only Savior. He is the very essence of life, and it is this life that he desires to impart to those who eat this godly bread. This is a spiritual eating. Now, here's what we need to understand. I did everything I could to make this clear. First for me, and secondly for you. Here's the meaning of Jesus' words, then and now. To eat is to believe in Jesus. Now we're into that metaphor. To eat is to believe in Jesus. Eating equals faith. So if you can make those two words in your mind mean the same thing. Eating equals faith. Eating equals believing from the depths of the heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And this believing is a living faith, not a dead one that simply believes that he is the Savior without doing his will. Again, to eat the bread of life is to have a living, active faith in Jesus Christ, a faith rooted in love. To have faith in Jesus, to trust him with our very souls, is so personal, so close, that his spirit and ours are merged, are joined together, are made one. This is the intimacy of faith. Here and later, Jesus describes this intimate relationship in this way. And he includes the Father in this one. You shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. In response to the Jews' question, Jesus now goes even deeper, undoubtedly confounding them even more. But for us, this metaphorical definition of faith becomes even more meaningful. In verses 53 and 54, as you will see, he repeats the necessity for eating his flesh, the bread of life, but now he adds a critical element. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. The intimacy of faith is both deepened and now sealed with blood, with his blood. Now we aren't told, but this was likely the last straw for the Jews who were there. They may have walked off shaking their heads, thinking Jesus' words were no longer worthy of rational consideration. Some of his followers also, verse 66, you don't have that, oh, you do have that in your reading. Verse 66, you'll see that some of Jesus' followers left also. And as we see in verse 60, even the disciples of Jesus, the 12, found their Lord's words hard to listen to and understand, which I think fits us when we started this morning. Now, you may have noticed verse 53 is a word of law. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. This is both a warning and a judgment. Metaphor aside, I'm going to reverse the process now. Let's forget the metaphor. Unless you believe to the depths of your heart, mind, and soul in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have no life in you. Should I just replace the words with the meaning? The unbeliever does not have eternal life with God, nor the doubter, nor the person who refuses to obey God's commandments, nor the impenitent sinner, nor the lukewarm. We've got a lot of that going on in the church today. Revelation 3 says the lukewarm, what's Jesus going to do? Spit them out of his mouth. Keep that in mind. As Jesus had made quite clear, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And the will of God is this, as we find spelled out in 1 John chapter 3, this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Now let's return to the figure of speech. Now I'm going to put that verse into a metaphor. This is the commandment that we should eat the flesh and drink the blood of God's Son, Jesus, and love one another. This intimacy of faith is now affirmed by Jesus himself as he now elaborates on the nature of a true and abiding faith by saying, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. This is a divine guarantee, a promise from a God who never breaks a promise. When your faith and mine is real, when it is genuine, when it is zealous, when it is fervent, when it is grafted into our very nature, when it is so intimate that we come to think and do as Jesus did, then we know we will live forever. For most of us, the seed of faith was planted already in holy baptism. For others of us, it came through the preaching, hearing the preaching of Christ crucified. Following our conversion, our spiritual rebirth, our faith has been nurtured through word and sacrament. These are the means by which we are fed the flesh and blood of Jesus, which is to say, this is how our faith is strengthened, how we become even closer to Jesus. Remember, faith is a conviction of things not seen. It is reality without being able to see it. Jesus gave himself, his body, for the sake of the life of the world. The human nature of Christ was sacrificed, given for the salvation of all sinners without exception. In this way, Jesus becomes the bread of life and the blood which have come down from heaven. And it is only by the grace of God that we can partake of the Father's Holy Son. It is not an eating and drinking of our own doing. Salvation is a free gift of God. Faith is a free gift of the Holy Spirit. And the essence of faith is this, that we receive Jesus as a gift, that we abandon all else and let him give himself to us. Let him feed us his flesh and blood. Faith begets faith. By faith and only by faith, the body of Christ is true food and the blood true drink. To partake of him is to be united with his very being, to be spiritually one with our Lord and Savior. It is a most intimate bond of faith. When we believe and repent, we are intimately and inseparably united with our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are righteous. Then we too are righteous, without sin, holy. And as Almighty God is eternal, then we also are eternal. Surely we all want to go to heaven, that never-ending paradise. This means eating the bread and drinking the blood, as Jesus tells us here. This means having a living faith in Christ Jesus. Remember, eating is faith, the flesh and blood are Jesus. I can't say it any simpler. Believe in Jesus, and that's the simplest of all. Believe he died that we may have life. Believe that when we confess our sins, the Father in heaven forgives us for his sake. Above all, our eternal destiny depends on loving our gracious Lord, doing his holy will, and rejoicing in the expectation of the glory soon to come. The next time you sit down to read the scriptures, pray first. Ask the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, to enlighten you as you read and meditate. Then eat the bread of life and drink the blood so freely offered. In other words, have faith that you will understand the words that God has caused to be written. Then your hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. Then you will live forever. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through a living faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.